Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. Today is Friday, April 19th. Coming up, cassette tapes have been making a comeback in recent years, and one company in Missouri is in the middle of this growing trend.
As long as tape is popular and selling and people want it, we're planning on doing it.
We'll hear how Missouri became the epicenter of the cassette tape revival. But first, some headlines. The Missouri legislature has narrowly passed a massive education bill that includes pay raises for teachers, a restructuring of school funding, and an expansion of tax credit scholarships for private schools. Representative Phil Cristofanelli worked on the bill.
This is the most substantive investment in public education that this state has ever seen.
The bill includes a new $40,000 minimum salary for teachers. Democrats warned that raise may not be guaranteed because there was no funding mechanism attached to the bill. It now goes to Republican Governor Mike Parson's desk. Republican U.S. Representative Jake LaTourneur of Kansas says he will not seek re-election. Dylan Lyson of the Kansas News Service reports the announcement creates an open seat to represent the Republican-leaning district of eastern Kansas.
LaTourneur was first elected to the 2nd Congressional District of Kansas in 2020. He was re-elected in 2022 with 57% of the vote. He had previously served as the Kansas Treasurer and in the Kansas Legislature. But LaTourneur, who is 36, says he wants to spend more time with his four young children and will not seek another term. The now open seat will likely attract many Republican candidates.
Kansas City metro communities are deciding how to use millions of dollars in settlement funds from pharmaceutical companies that made and sold opioids. KCUR's Noah Taborda reports that's according to a report in The Beacon.
Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County are allocating over $2 million each toward treatment options, with the city government also using funds for respite beds while people recover. Johnson County, on the other hand, is focusing on law enforcement, with 72% of its share going toward the sheriff's department. Opioid settlement payouts will be made over the next 18 years. In total, Missouri expects about $900 million and Kansas $340 million.
We'll be back after this.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Cassette tapes are experiencing a revival, and one family-owned company in Springfield has become the unlikely capital of this resurgence. From the podcast A People's History of Kansas City, Suzanne Hogan tells us how this old analog format is getting new love.
National Audio Company in downtown Springfield, Missouri, manufactures more audio cassette tapes than any place in the world. And it's a massive operation.
The first three floors on this site are actively used for our operation. The fourth floor is our archives. The fifth floor is storage.
Vice President Phil Stepp is proud to represent the third generation of this family-run business. It's a place that refused to give up on this analog format at a time when others were. Now they crank out about 30 million cassette tapes a year.
As long as tape is popular and selling and people want it, we're planning on doing it.
However, industry-wide, tape sales haven't always been good. Some might be surprised to hear that cassettes are even around anymore, as other formats like CDs, MP3s, downloading, and streaming have drastically changed the way we consume music and all content. Yet in recent years, similar to vinyl records, cassette tapes have seen their own resurgence. For some, it's nostalgia.
My very first piece of music came on cassette, so I've always kind of had a soft spot for it.
It's part of our senses, being able to hold something.
I just love the click.
I think that's what we all want, having that connection with music.
And I get it. As a child of the 80s, I grew up listening to and loving a lot of tapes. We'd listen to them on our home stereo, in the car, on family road trips, in my Teddy Ruxpin doll.
My name is Teddy Ruxpin. Can you and I be friends?
Yeah.
I made home recordings.
Suzanne is interviewing her grandma, Grammy.
And mixtapes for friends. I even dorkily recorded my favorite programs and songs off the radio so I could listen back to them whenever I wanted.
Welcome to WBEZ Chicago, Public Radio International, This American Life, I'm Ira Glass.
But Steve Stepp of National Audio Company says the recent spike in interest in the format is not just coming from nostalgic tape nerds like me.
The demographic driving the popularity of the audio cassette is not nostalgic about audio cassettes. They weren't around when audio cassettes were the big thing.
In the past decade, cassette sales have grown more than 440%. And popular artists like Taylor Swift are releasing new music onto this old analog format. So how did a company in Springfield, Missouri become the capital of the cassette tape revival? Let's back up. Steve Stepp and his late dad, Warren Stepp, started National Audio Company in 1968, just a few years after the cassette tape was invented. Originally, the company distributed broadcast cartridges and reels of blank tape to radio stations. The first time Steve saw an audio cassette, he was not impressed. It was so small, like something you would put in a doll, he remembers saying.
I was wrong about the audio cassette, and it became rapidly the medium for music.
Eventually, National Audio Company became one of the many actors in the booming cassette dubbing and distribution business. Sony introduced the Walkman in 1979, which made it even more convenient for people to listen to music on their own and on the go. By the mid-1980s, cassettes were selling better than vinyl records. But it was also in the 80s that the cassette tape's nemesis hit the scene.
Philips announced the next best thing to live music, compact disc.
By 1991, music CD sales surpassed vinyl records and cassette tapes. And you might think a thing like the rise of the CD would have buried a company like National Audio. But it didn't, because National Audio wasn't into dubbing music cassettes back then. They were doing books on tape and spoken word type things.
Compact disc ran the cassette right out of the music business, but it didn't touch the audio cassette in the recorded book business. We weren't hurt by that.
So they kept chugging along and acquiring unwanted equipment from cassette companies who were leaving the business.
Everybody thought we were crazy. That's still true. Everybody still thinks we're crazy.
In the early 2000s, their company started fulfilling more music orders from mainstream acts like Pearl Jam and the Smashing Pumpkins. And also around the same time for independent musicians, National Audio Company had become a vital resource. Cassettes were the affordable option for DIY musicians to release music on their own terms and in smaller quantities.
We're dealing with about 5,000 independent labels worldwide now.
Steve Stepp says business was going well until a major industry shakeup went down. National Audio Company was in the business of making cassettes, but that didn't mean they made every part of it in-house, like the actual magnetic tape that came inside the cartridges. And by the early 2000s, most big companies who were making this had pulled the plug. National Audio kept shopping around and eventually found a company called Sehan in South Korea.
And then we got notice from them. They'd made a sudden decision. The cassette tape business was over with, and as of December, they would make no more cassette tape. We asked Sehan, how much stock have you got on hand? And they had 300,000 reels of tape on hand, and we said, ship it.
Steve and his son Phil Stepp figured that stock would last about 3 years.
Phil and I looked at each other, and we said, well, we got two choices. We can go out of business in about 3 years, or we can make tape.
Luckily, his son, Phil Stepp, is also a scientist. He started working with the rest of the team at National Audio Company to try to devise a recipe, process, and machinery to make tape, which turns out is a very complicated process involving materials from all over the world.
This is a tape coating line. This is the base film right here. It's a little thicker than shrink wrap.
Cassette tape actually starts out as a powder. Then it has to be blended, made into a liquid slurry, leveled out, sent through big pressure pots, coated, cut. It involves physics, chemistry, magnetic, and electrical engineering. And after years of trial and error, they figured it out. Now the Steps say they're at a point where they're ahead on tape production. They've got a table filled with blank spools of tape ready to be dubbed. It's quite a different feeling from the precarious situation they were in just 5 years ago.
It's been a long story. All of it's against the odds. and here we are.
Just recently for Disney, they put out Star Wars: The Force Awakens on cassette. The Steps say it's the best recording they've made in 55 years. And that feels so good.
When somebody tells you this can't be done, when the whole world has decided this is over with, and you don't have enough sense to realize that, and you do it, and you not only do it, you do it very well, that's satisfying. There's a certain amount of pride in what we do here.
For KCUR 89.3, I'm Suzanne Hogan.
You can hear more of this story on KCUR Studios' podcast, A People's History of Kansas City. This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. This podcast is produced by Byron Love and KCUR Studios. It's edited by Madeline Fox and Gabe Rosenberg. To read Suzanne's story on National Audio Company, visit kcur.org, where you can find more local news from Kansas City's NPR station. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.